Today's daf is Menaches daf Chaf Beis, and we are at the first wide line, eight lines from the bottom of daf Chaf Aleph Amid Beis. Today's daf is being learned as a Schus Refuah Shalema for Chava Miriam Basmalka Freida and Shloima Ben Chaya Leah. So we're in the middle of a Gemara. The Gemara on the top of the Avchof Aleph Amid Beis brought a Mishnah in Masechet Shkalim that says that there was a Tanai Bezdin that said that the Kohanim are allowed to have pleasure, they're allowed to have Hana, from the salt and the wood that was in the Beis HaMikdash. Shmuel the Amir commented on the Mishnah and he said, Loi Shanu Elo Likarbonam. Even though the Mishnah says that the Kohanim are allowed to have hana from the salt and the Eitzim, specifically as it relates to the salt, that's only true if they're using it like karbonah. But if they're using it la'achilo, nah. And the Gemara had a suffix, had to understand exactly what Shmuel meant. The initial understanding of the Gemara, kasolka daitach, that when Shmuel said that they're allowed to have anala karbonim, what he meant was limloyach karbonim, that if they want to use the salt to put on their karbonis, a carbon-required salt, they're allowed to use it. L'achilo, however, if they want to use it for achilas kachim, that's not something they would be allowed to use it for. But the Gemara said that it can't be, because we know from a braisa that the Kehanim were allowed to use the salt for them to process the oirois, the hides that they got from the carbon. And the Gemara felt, hashto l'mloyach oirois kachim yahavinon, l'achilas kachim lo yahavinon. And it's for that reason the Gemara came around, and the Gemara said, there's no way in the world that Shmuel's comment on the Mishnah was that if a Kohen wants to use the salt to make his basar taste good, it's not something he'd be allowed to do. Certainly he'd be allowed to do it. Okay, so what did Shmuel mean when he said, Lo yishanu ela lekarbonon ava l'achil olay? My lekarbonon, says the Gemara, Shmuel must have meant l'achilas karbonon. My l'achila, what he must have meant was, achila dechulin. So what Shmuel's comment then on the Mishnah was that if a Kohen wants to use the salt for a kachim-related inyan, be it to put it on a chelik of a carbon that's going on the mizbeach, or be it to put on the basa that he's eating, that's something that's going to be okay. If, however, he wants to use it for chulin, that's not going to be okay. The Gemara said chulin pshita. The Gemara says, no, it's not so pasha, because there were times that the kohanim would eat chulin so that when they eat kachim, it would be ala soifa, it would be la mashcha. So you would have thought that achilas chulin is really like a kachim diga achila, and maybe it should be okay, kamash malon. But the bottom line is that what emerges is that when the Mishnah said that there was a Tanai Bezdin, that Kohanim are allowed to use the salt in the Beis HaMikdash, Shmuel saying that was true with regards to all carbon-related items, be it the chelik of the carbon that goes on the Mizbeach, or be it the chelik of the carbon that was eaten. However, la'achila, as it relates to achila, and what does achila mean, achila schulin, that's something that's not going to be okay. There was a little bit of a shakl of attire, whether or not Shmuel actually said that. Maybe he meant something else, but after further review, that is what Shmuel meant. So the Gemara said, Amalei Ravina l'Rav Ashi. The names matter. So Ravina told Rav Ashi, he said, Hochi nami mistabra, I'll prove to you that this must be what Shmuel meant. Why? Because if you're going to tell me that when Shmuel said, Lo yishanu ela l'karbonon, he meant the chelik of the carbon that actually went on the Mizbeach, why would you need a Tanan Hassam? Why would you need a Tanai Bezdin in order for the Kayan to be allowed to use the salt for the chelik of the carbon that's going on the Mizbeach? You find that even the Yisraelim, even the non-Kayanim, were allowed to use the salt. And if the non-Kayanim were allowed to use the salt, then certainly it would make sense the Kayanim would be allowed to use the salt. Must be that the Tanai Bezdin that says Likarbonim doesn't mean the chelik that went on the Mizbeach, because that's Pshita. Because for that, you don't need a Tanai Bezdin. It must be, it's going for the chelik that the Kohanim ate. That I don't have any precedent for. And as a result, it must be that when Shmuel said, Lo yishanu ela l'karbonim, ava l'achila lo, the karbonim didn't just mean the chelik that goes on the Mizbeach, but it means the chelik that's eaten. As a matter of fact, it doesn't even mean the chelik that goes on the Mizbeach. Not it doesn't mean the chelik that goes on the Mizbeach, because the chelik that goes on the Mizbeach, the Kohanim's not allowed to use the salt for. But for that, there's no Tanai Bezdin. And the Mishnah is discussing something that's a Tanai Bezdin. So in the Mishnah says Al Hamelech v'Al Ha'etzim Shiva Kehanim Ne'oisim Mehem, it must be that it's referring to the chelik of the carbon that's eaten. And if that's the case, obviously you're allowed to put salt on the chelik that's eaten. Why can't you not? It's the chelik that's chulin. Either way, so it sounded like Ravina told Rav Ashi that there's a very very starker raya to support the Gemara's second understanding of what Shmuel meant. The Gemara in today's daf is going to pick up again. We're mamish like mid cheshbon. You almost have to start with the niggin as if you're in the middle of a sentence. Where the Gemara is going to attempt now to be doicha this raya. First glance, it sounds like an extremely compelling raya. To the extent that even Yisrael is allowed to use the salt to put on his carbon, so why would you need a type bezin to say that the kayan should be allowed to? If the Yisrael could, certainly the kayan. And why certainly? Because the kayan has more rights in the base of Mikdash than the Yisrael does. So it'd be very hard to think that you would need a type bezin for carbonon. The Gemara now is going to be doiche that. Let me tell you what Rav Sheisha Breid Rav Idi said. He said that this Hachi Nami Mistabra that Ravina told you, Rav Ashi, again, Rav Mordechai is talking to Rav Ashi. Rav Ashi heard what Ravina said. Hachi Nami Mistabra. Okay, sounds pretty good. Rav Mordechai told him, I heard from Rav Sheisha Breid Rav Idi that there really is no Rai. You know why? Because it could be the Mishnah is going according to Ben Bukhri. Who's Ben Bukhri? This time we learned in the Mishnah. And this is also Mishnah Mesech Tishkolim. Amar Rav Yehuda, Rav Yehuda said, hey, Ben Bukhri be Yavna. Ben Bukhri said, Eidos in Yavna. So we know Yavna is the place that the Yidden were after the destruction of the second base Hamikdash. And when the Yidden were in Yavna, one of the things they did was, is they were Makabel Eidos. In fact, there's a whole Masechta called Idiyos, Miloshen Eidos. And this was different people that were relaying different Messiahs that they had. The Yidden had to chronicle all the Messiahs to make sure, Shalei Tishtakach Torah Miyisrael. But either way, so one of the people that said Eidos was Ben Bukhri. And this is what he said. Kol koyin sheshoikel. Any koyin that contributes to the machzis hashekel, einoi choyte. He's not a sinner. Meaning, from the fact that he gives the machzis hashekel, it's okay. He's not a choyte. What's Pashup Shat? So Pashup Shat sounds like a Kohen is really potter from giving Machzis HaShekel. So there would have been a Havamina, Ben Benoishel Havamina, that even if he gives it, it's not okay. Kamash Malon, no. Kol Kohen Sheshekel Einu Chet. Amr Rabbi Yechon HaZakei. So Rabbi Yechon HaZakei was there. And he said, Loiki, I disagree with you. Ela Kol Kohen She'einu Sheshekel Chayte. It's just the opposite. A Kohen that's not Sheshekel is a Chayte, right? It's just the opposite. Kol Kohen Sheshekel Einu Chayte. Kol Koyin, not Sheshoikol, She'eno Shoikol, and not Eino Choyte Choyte. So it's 180 degrees. But the bottom line is, Kol Koyin that doesn't give the Machzah Shekel is a Choyte. And the reason is because just like Yidin are obligated in Machzah Shekel, Kehanim are also obligated in Machzah Shekel. Hello, stating that, Rabbi Yechon, like I said, I'm going to tell you where this whole Inyan came from, where it seems like we're not 100% sure if Kehanim are obligated in Machzah Shekel or not. It came from a very bad custom from Kehanim that weren't saying the right thing. Because the Kehanim, they used to darshan the following pasuk for themselves. They would say that it says, right? So the mincha of a koyin is not allowed to be eaten. So they would make the following cheshbon. Being that there are three menachis that are karbanos, the karbanoim, the shtei alechem, and the lechem aponim. And if we're going to contribute to the machzah shekel, we're going to have a chelik in it. And those three types of menachas had to be eaten. So, heich nacholen, we're going to end up with a problem. So they decided to not go ahead and to not give machzah shekel. And that's where this inyan came from, that maybe kayhanim are not chayiv and machzah shekel. But Ben Bukhri said that kayhanim are not chayiv and machzah shekel, or because koyin sheshoikol eini chayte. No, you have it all wrong. What it really is that a Kohen is obligated in Machzah Shekel, and as a matter of fact, if a Kohen doesn't give Machzah Shekel, he's going to be considered a Chayte. Now, let's just furious the Gemara, and then we'll see what the Omalei Ramortche, the Rav Ashi, Hachi, Kam, Rav Sheish, Beid, Rav Idi was. Says the Gemara, the Ben Bukhri, Kohen, Ben Bukhri, Kimin, the Chathil, Eloi, Mechayev, La Asuye, Ki Maisi, Nami, Chayte. What was Pashup Shad in Ben Bukhri? Ben Bukhri suggested that Kol Kohen Sheshekel ain't a Chayte. Meaning, you're not obligated, but if you do, you're not a Chayte. The Gemara's argument is, I think you should be a Chayte. And the reason is, because if you're not obligated to give this Machzah Shekel, when the Machzah Shekel, the coins, come into the Beis HaMikdash, you're bringing Chulun Lazara, right? The Kamaya Chulun Lazara. And we know that's not something you're allowed to do. There's an Indian, you're not allowed to bring Chulun Lazara. It's an Isser. You're not allowed to bring Chulun Lazara. To the extent that the Kohen is not obligated Machzah Shekel, so it comes out, the Machzah Shekel doesn't have Kedushas Machzah Shekel. It's not allowed to be brought into the Lishka where the Machzah Shekel were kept. It's not allowed to be brought into the Azara. So the Gemara says, the Maisi Umasala Hoin Litzibor. The bottom line is that the way it would work is he would give it to the tzibur, and then the tzibur would donate it. So like this, it got kashered a little bit by giving it to the tzibur. It's nachun lazara. Like this is not going to be a problem. But the bottom line is this. What does it have to do with our sugya? So Rav Mordechai told Rav Ashi, let me tell you, Rav Sheshet Beit Rav Yehudi said, he said that lo'olam, there's no raya. Mineu Beit from the Mishnah, ala melech v'ala eitzim shiur kehanim ne'yosim behem. That pshat is that they're allowed to use it for achilah. Maybe they're only allowed to use it to put it on the chelik of the carbon that went on the mizbeach, like the Gemara's initial understanding in Shmuel. What was the hachi nami mistabra that's not the pshat? Because Madachi Yisrael is allowed to do it, so for sure Kohen would be allowed to do it, and why would I need a Tanai Bezdin to say otherwise? Zok de Gemara, this is where we pick up with the Cheshbins. Oh, I would have thought, based on Ben Bukhri, Kizach Lurachman Ali Yisrael, the Islahu Lishka, maybe it's true that the Yisrael is allowed to use the melech, he's allowed to use the salt to put on a carbon that's going to Mizbeach, but that's only because he has Lishka. What does it mean he has Lishka? Rashi, this is a Kolema Rashi. Lishka sounds like he has like a locker somewhere in the Beis HaMikdash. No, it means that they used to give the shkolim. They contributed to the Trumas HaLishka, to the Machzes HaShekel. So maybe therefore the salt, which was purchased with that money, they have a schusin. Ob l'kehanim, the less l'lishka, the kehanim who didn't have a chelik, l'izachu l'rachmana, maybe not, kamash malan. That's why we needed maybe the Tanan Hasam. That's why we needed the Tanai Bezdin in order to say that even the kehanim were allowed to use that melach. In other words, there would have been a svara chitzayna to say that it could be the Yisrael is allowed to use the melech as opposed to the Kohen is not allowed to use the melech. The reason is because the melech is bought with the Machzes HaShekel. The Yisrael contributed to the Machzes HaShekel. The Kohen didn't contribute to the Machzes HaShekel. Now, is that true? Everybody holds the Kohen didn't contribute to the Machzes HaShekel? No. It was a Machloikis, Ben Bukhri and Rabbi Yochanan Ben Zakkai. But Le'nitzrucha Elul Ben Bukhri. Ben Bukhri Lamaisa holds that the Kohanim didn't contribute to the Machzes HaShekel. Based on that, you could have thought that maybe they shouldn't have a chelik in the melech. Kamash Malon, that's the Mishnah. In other words, we had a Mishnah that said, Ala Melech Falo Eitzim Chu Kohanim Ne'yosim Ben. And we had two Mahal. Have had to understand what that Tanai Bezdin was. Right, Shmuel very cryptically said, Leishanu elo lekarbonim, aval achila loy. What mahalach was? Leishanu elo lekarbonim, the chilek that went on the mizbech. Aval achila, the achila's kachim. Not the other mahalach was, Leishanu elo lekarbonim, the chelik that was eaten, right? It goes without saying the chelik that went on the mizbeach. Aval achila lo, it means achila schulim. The Gemara thought that a hachi nami mistaber, there's a checkmate raya, that what's the real pshat? It's the second pshat. Why is that? Because if the first pshat is right, and the Tanai Bezdin is only negeir the chelik that went on the mizbeach, why do I need a Tanai Bezdin for that? Even the Yisrael who doesn't have the Tanai Bezdin is allowed to use the melech. So why would I think the Kohanim is different? The answer is, like this Chela Ben Bukhri. According to Ben Bukhri, the Yisrael has a chelik in the Machzes HaShekel as opposed to the Kohen. So you could have thought the melech, which is purchased with the Machzes HaShekel, the Yisrael would be allowed to use, but the Kohen not. Kamash Malon. This concludes the first part of today's daf. Now, one of the things that emerged in the latter part of yesterday's daf was a whole discussion of the melach, who paid for it, right? Shal ze anudanin. Additionally, the itzim, who paid for the wood? So you show up to the Beis HaMikdash with a carbon, you're going to need wood. Right? The haktara involves wood. Do you have to bring the wood? Do you not have to bring the wood? So if you remember, the Gemara said, rather fleetingly, that the itzim was mishal tzibur. The yachid, even if he's bringing an individual carbon, he never had a contribute the wood. The wood was something that was brought by the tzibur. Says the Gemara, "Ve'etzin the pshita le'latana de mishel tzibur minalon." The Tana must have had a source. He must have had a makar somewhere, because it was very obvious to him. It was never even up for discussion that the wood was contributed by the tzibur. How did he know that? The Gemara says it's based on a drasha that's expressed in a brisa. The Tanya, we learned in a brisa. Yachol, you would have thought, if somebody says a re'olai oila, yavi eitzim mitoich beisai. Maybe, together with his oila, you say you're going to show up with your sheep. Together with your sheep, you're going to have to show up with wood as well. And by the way, it makes sense, because together with the oila came the minchas nesachim, right? It came nesachim. So the nesachim you had to bring out of your house. So that's like an ancillary expense that comes along with bringing an oila. So just like you, in addition to the animal, you had to bring the nesachim, it would make sense that maybe you should have to bring the eitzim as well. Talmud Loimar, it says in the pasuk, by the carbon oila, v'orchu b'nei aharon ha'kehanim isa nesachim es ha'rosh v'es ha'peder al ho'eitzim. Asher alo ish, Asher al ha-mizbeach. And we learn from here, mat mizbeach nishel tzibur, just like the mizbeach, right, you don't have to bring a mizbeach, the mizbeach is from the tzibur, af eitzim ve'eish, so to the eitzim and the eish, mishel tzibur was also mishel tzibur, divrei Rabbi Elazar Rav Shimon. Rabbi Elazar Rav Shimon said, now you know the yachid didn't have to bring his own eitzim, because we're makish the eitzim to the mizbeach. Al ha-eitzim, asher al ha-eish, asher al ha-mizbeach. And just like the mizbeach is obviously mishel tzibur, so to the eitzim is mishel tzibur, Rav Shimon. Rabbi Elazar Shmuel Omer, Elazar and Shmuel had a different limud that he learned out from this hekish. Al ho'itzim, asher al ho'ish, asher al ha'mizbeach. And that is ma'am mizbeach. Shloi nishtam mishboi hedyit. Just like the mizbeach is a mizbeach. Shloi nishtam mishboi hedyit. So when a mizbeach was built, so the avonim that were used for the mizbeach had to be avonim, things that a hedyit never used. We learn from there, af eitzim ve'esh, shloi nishtam mishboi and hedyit. So to the eitzim and the esh had to be such eitzim and such esh that a hedyit never use. So we have two drushes from the hekish between Eitzim and Mizbeach. Rabbi Elazar Rav Shimon and Rabbi Elazar ben Shammua. Rabbi Elazar Rav Shimon said, "Ma Mizbeach Mishal Tzibur Af Eitzim Mishal Tzibur." Rabbi Elazar ben Shammua said, "Ma Mizbeach Shloi Nishtamish By Hedit Af Eitzim Shloi Nishtamish By Hedit." My Benayu, what's the nafkamino? So what would you say if somebody asks you, "Ma Benayu?" I would say, "What do you mean? It's two nafkaminas." I would say, according to Rabbi Elazar Rav Shimon, it has the Eitzim has to be or could be Mishal Tzibur. According to Rabbi Elazar ben Shammua, maybe you have to bring your own Eitzim. According to Rabbi Elazar ben Shammua, you have to use new Eitzim. According to Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon, you don't have to use new Eitzim, right? I mean, it's obvious. They have two different pshatim, two distinctly different pshatim. So, my Beinayu, the Gemara gives one of those two nafkaminas. The Gemara says, Iki Beinayu chadati. Nafkamina is the halach of Rabbi Elazar ben Shammua. Rabbi Elazar ben Shammua, who learned from the Hekish, this is a din chadati. That's true according to Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon. That's not true according to Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon. And the Rishonim all point out from here that you see that the Gemara understood that Rabbi Elazar ben Shammua wasn't being chaylik on Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon. He was being moisif on Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon. Thus says, Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon said there's a Hekish, Eitzim to Mizbeach, Mizbeach Mishal Tzibur, Eitzim Mishal Tzibur. Rabbi Elazar ben Shammua is moided to that. He holds the same thing. But Yehuda Vaidlakra, he has a second drasha. He says, in addition to that, there's also a drasha that says it has to be chadati. That Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon argues with, and that's why the Gemara said, "My beinayu ikn beinayu chadati." But the Gemara says, "Vatiki lo." Is that true? You're not allowed to use any old wood to build a mizbeach. Vaksiv, the pasuk says, "Vayoymer Aravna el David." Aravna told David, "Yikach v'yeal adoni amalach atoy beinov rei habakar la'oyla v'hamirigin uk." So if this pasuk sounds familiar, it's because we learned this pasuk together in the Churvashul, right? So this is a pasuk at the very, very end of Sefer Shmuel Beis, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells David HaMelech to go and purchase the geirin of a man named Aravna, who was a Jebusite, Aravna Hayavusi, and I want you to go and build a mizbeach. And when Aravna sees David coming with his whole entourage, he's very taken aback. Take it. I want to buy it. No, take it. And he said, not just that, but come, I'm going to give you whatever you want. You could take the Meirigin, you could take the Kliabokar, take everything. Sounds like these things were okay to be used. What's the kasha? What do you mean? You can't start taking the farming tools that Aravna Yavusi has been using for many fiscal years. It's not something that's okay. So how could there be here a shayla in the Tanoim? Ahava mina, there may be an itchadati. Rabbi Elazar ben Shammua was chiddush. L'chayr, it's a pasuk in Nach. You see that it's not an issue. The Gemara says, achinami b'chadati. Who said it wasn't chadati? Right, we assume these were farming tools that were used already. Hazmona lav milsi. So he gave him tools that maybe he had a half a minute to use, but ultimately they weren't used. I mean that they weren't used. So for that reason, this is going to be okay. The Gemara says, just parenthetic to this discussion, my moirigin, right? When you're learning kachim, this counts as agadata. My moirigin, although there's a lot of agadata coming up next week, by the way. So the daf is about to get much, much, much lighter. But either way, my moirigin, what exactly is the definition of moirigin, right? Aravna Yavusi said, take the moirigin, the kliabokar. It's some farming tool, that's obvious. But what exactly is it? Amar Ula said, mita shel turbol. It's a mita shel turbol. If that helps, well, didn't help the Gemara. My mita shel turbol, Amar Rav Yehuda, so Rav Yehuda said, iza de kurkisa de dashuba dashtoi. So, does that help? So that already the Gemara understood, and even Rashi understood. So Rashi says, iza, it's an aid shel barzel, noisen olav lachbidoi. So this was some piece of metal, but it was shaped like an aid, shaped like a goat, which makes sense. You're in the farm, right? And it was not just a barzel goat, but it was a kurkisa. So Rashi says, kurkisa is a neser gadol. It's like a large beam, mali yisedos, and there are nails on the bottom of it. What's it used for? Next Rashi, the daishi disha. We have the girsa, the dashu ba dashtoi, but it's the same thing. The daishi disha, it's used to thresh and thresh. Shenois the noise ala tfua, the koichon loy shvarim, they would put it on the tfua, they would tie it to the oxen, and they would use it to thresh. But the bottom line is, this is what it is. I'm Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef said, my kara, what's the makar to this? Like, how did Chazal know this? So Rav Yosef said, they knew it from the following pasuk. This is a pasuk in Yeshaya Perek Mem Aleph. Hine, samtich l'moireg charutz chadosh bal pipiois tadosh harim. That I made you like a moireg. What's a moireg? So a moireg is charutz. It's sharp. It's bal pipiois. It has many edges. It's sharp, right? Tadosh harim. And it goes. It threshes the mountains. So the bottom line is, there's a makar from this pasuk in Yeshaya Mem Aleph to this idea. Moving along. Incidentally, there's a very Geshmak, a shmooze in the world of raid. We're not going to go into this now. And that is, Rabbi Lozman Shamu said there's a halacha that if you build a mizbeach, you have to use dafka avonim and things that were never used before. But if something was used for something else, once it was nishtamish by hedyet, at that point you're not allowed to use it. Yaakov Avinu, in Parshas Vayetze, we learned this together not so long ago. So it says, Vayikach me'avnei ha'makoim, he slept on the stones, and then afterwards he used that. Right? So everyone asks this kasha that how was Yaakov Avinu allowed to go ahead and build a mizbeach from those stones? L'chayr was violating this halacha. Now the truth is, yesh lachker. Is this true dafka for a mizbeach? What about a bama? Would a bama be included or not? Yaakov Avinu, when he built his matzeva, so that was a bama l'chayr. Also, it wasn't a mizbeach. Remember the Ramban al HaTorah who talks about the chilek between a bama and a mizbeach. So again, this brings us back to a lot of raid. Additionally, Yaakov Avinu was a hedyet. The Mesilas Yesharim, in the end of Sefer Mesilas Yesharim, in Shara Kedusha, so he talks about how a person could be in a skadish, and he could get to a point where he's mamish a shtik kotchim. And what's one of his dugmois, Yaakov Avinu? That you see all the stones were fighting, Aliyah Nirch Tzadik Roshay, because when Yaakov Avinu put his head down on the stone, it wasn't a gather of a maisa chulin. It was a gather of a maisa of kodesh. And as a result, Yaakov Avinu's avoida of a lion near tzadik roshet, that's not a shtamshus of hedit. That's a shtamshus of kedusha, right? One of the examples that the Mesilas Yesharim says is you find ach kayhanim oichlin ubaylam eschaprim. Because Achilas Kayanim is literally like Achilas Mizbeach. Yaakov Avinu lying, that's a maisa kodesh. It's a maisa kodesh. Maybe there's no kasha from Yaakov Avinu. Either way, it's a fascinating raid. We're going to go weiter. Zok de Mishnah. Nisarev kumtza bekoimitz chaverta. What would be if two koimitzes got mixed up? So Reuven had a koimitz and Shimon had a koimitz, and the two koimitzes became a taruvis. Or if someone had a koimitz, we'll call him Reuven, and it was Nisarev b'minchas koyanim with a minchas koyanim b'minchas koyim Mashiach, or with a minchas koyim Mashiach b'minchas nesachim, or with a minchas nesachim. So what do those three minchas have in common? Minchas koyim, minchas koyim Mashiach, minchas nesachim. There was no koimitz. The entire mincha went on the mizbech. So ksheir d'alach is, it's going to be kosher. So even though you have different parts of a carbon that are supposed to go on the mizbech, and they're all Nisarev, they're all mixed up, so there would have been a havamina that, I don't know, maybe you can't put it on the mizbeach. Zok de Mishnah kasha. And it doesn't matter if it's a koimitz but a koimitz, or if it's a koimitz but a ganze mincha that has a din to go on the mizbeach. Rabbi Yehuda, I'm Rabbi Yehuda's chaylik. He says, b'minchas koyim Moshiach, b'minchas nesachin, psula. That it's true. Nesarev koimitz b'koimitz, that's going to be okay. But if you have a koimitz that was nesarev with a mincha, with a whole mincha goes on the mizbeach, it's going to be possible. Even though it says psula, Rashi says it's really psulois, they're both going to be possible. Shezu b'lilasa ava, v'zu b'lilasa raka, v'him b'lilois zu mizu. So if you take a look at Rashi, Rashi says that the proportion of soilis versus shemen was different for the mincha that had a kmitza done with it versus the menachas that didn't have a kmitza. Rashi says, "Lefisha hakoimitz the minchas nidvas Yisrael blila se'ava." The blila, the mixture was thick. Right, there was a loig. There was a loig of shemen per each isarim of soilus. However, minchas koyim Mashiach, minchas nesachin blila raka. The mixture was much thinner. And the reason is because it was shloisha lugin l'isar. Because the ratio was three lugin of shemen to each isar. Rashi brings the makaris. Here's the bottom line. If you're going to mix, says Rabbi Yehuda, these two types of menachis, what's going to happen is you're going to have a riba shamna as it relates to the kaimetz that's supposed to be blilasan ava, and you're going to have a miyut shamna regarding the other menaches that are supposed to be raka. And it's for that reason you're going to end up at a pasul mincha. So says Rabbi Yehuda, if it's a kaimetz and a kaimetz, or it's a mincha and a mincha, where the ratios of the two parts of this taruvis are one and the same, so then there's no issue. If, however, you're dealing with a situation where one has a loik to isarin ratio, and the other one has a three lugin to isarin ratio, so now if you're going to mix it up, the koimitz is going to end up with too much oil, and the other menachas are going to end up with too little oil, and it's going to be puzzle simply because the proportions and the ratios are off. So for that reason, it's going to be an issue. Meaning, mitzad the taruva shabbat doesn't sound like there's an issue. There's a secondary issue, and that is you're going to end up with a ribur or a miyut of shemen, and for that reason, there might be an issue. So again, so what is the machloikis Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim and the Mishnah? According to the Chachamim, anytime you have a taruvis between a koimitz and a koimitz, or a koimitz and a mincha, it's always going to be kasha. The taruvis is neither here nor there. According to Rabbi Yehuda, it depends. If it's a koimitz and a koimitz, or a mincha and mincha, it's going to be fine. If it's a koimitz and a mincha, because of this other issue, that's where you're going to have a problem. So the Gemara now is going to begin, and the Gemara is going to introduce a Mishnah. It's a Mishnah Masechet Zvachim, to find Zayin and Beis. If you remember, when we learned Masechet Zvachim, the inyan of taruvis wasn't just a sugya, it was a perek, right? There's a whole perek called perek ha-taruvis in Masechet Zvachim. Gemara after Gemara, daf after daf, short daf and daf yomi, dig monster taisvises, but it's a whole perek. But what's very much ba'arichos in Masechet Zvachim, you get a snippet of a menachas, which is one of the themes of the first 25 or so blad in Masechet Menachas. Either way, the Gemara is going to send us down memory lane a little bit, take us to a Tanan Hassam. Not all Tanan Hassams were created equally. The Tanan Hassam that we began the daf with was in Shkolim. This Tanan Hassam is in Zvachim. Regardless, the Gemara is going to bring us back to a major machloikis regarding Zvachim, not Menachis, when there's a Taruvis. Tanan Hassam, Dam she Nesar b'mayim. What would be if you have Dam of a carbon that was Nesar with water? So what's the halacha? Shishim, right? How exactly do you go about something like this? And so the Mishnah says, Im yesh b'maris dam, kosher. If the Taruvis looks like blood, it's going to be kosher. If it doesn't, it's going to be pasul. So we don't go basar tam. Why? Remember the sugyas? Because you're not eating it. You go basa tam when it's a dover hanechel. You go basa mara. You go basa chazusa. We look at what it looks like, literally. Nesarev b'yayin. What would be if the dam was nesarev with yayin? Now, if you're supposed to go basa mara, and the two things look alike, so it's going to be very hard to go basa mara. So the Mishnah says, you pull a royin. Royin oise kilu mayim. We make believe that the yayin was mayim, and we ask ourselves, if this was mayim, would you see the dam? Well, then it's dam. And if not, it wouldn't be dam. Nesarev b'dam behema b'dam chaya. What if it was nesarev with dam behema rashi seshul chulin? Or dam chaya, which by definition has to be chulin. So there too, royin oise kilu hu mayim. We look at the other dam as if it's mayim, and we ask ourselves, if it was mayim, would you see the dam? Then it's going to be dam. And if you wouldn't see the dam, then it's not going to be a dam. Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda has a shita. This is what we're getting to. Ein dam mevatel dam. Rabbi Yehuda has a shita that dam is not mevatel dam. What's the side of shitas, Rabbi Yehuda? Because Rabbi Yehuda, of course, is the mandam and chas that holds min b'minoy le'batel. So Rabbi Yehuda says, I agree with your cheshbin of dam and mayim. I even agree with dam and yayin. I sign off to Ryan. But dam and dam, there's no betel. Ain't dam mevatel dam. It's always going to be considered dam. You have nothing to worry about. You can't be mevatel the dam. And the reason is because min b'midalei batel. Now the Chachamim obviously hold dam is mevatel dam. How do you know that? Because the Chachamim said, Royin, when it comes to the dam being the star of the dam. That means we have a machlokes Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim, whether min b'minei batel or min b'minei loy batel. Again, this is one of the more famous machlokes in the chest, but this machlokes Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim, Zok Tegmar and Rabbi Yechin, and the great Rabbi Yechin, and say, Shnei Mikra Echad Darshu, that you want to know the source, the makar to this machlokes. Sai the Chachamim and Sai Reb Yehuda, they both developed their opinions from the same one pasuk. This pasuk is in Perek Tez Zayin in Sefer Vayikra, which of course is the beginning of Parshas Achrimos, which is the Avodah on Yom Kippur. And the Torah says that Kohen Gadol, when he's doing the Avodah, v'lokach midam ha-par midam ha-sar, he would take from the dam of the par and he would take from the dam of the sar. Now, hadavi yudua, said Reb Yechanan, shadam ishal par meruma midam ishal sar, that there's more dam that comes from a par than this that comes from a sar. Yet the Torah calls the dam of the sire as the dam of the sire. To be clear, if the dam of the sire is mixed together with the dam of the par, then the dam of the sire should be bottled to the dam of the par, and at that point it should be v'lokach midam ha-par. If the Torah says v'loch b'dam aparim b'dam asar, hagam we know adavir yodua shedamay shal par is meruma midavay shal sar, must be that for whatever reason the dam of the sar was not bottled. Question is why? The rabbanon savri, the rabbanon held that the reason is mikan. We learn from here lo oilin she'im mevatlin zareza. It's because they're both oil. The dam aparim, the dam asar were both things that one of them is bech. They're both dam and oilim are not mevatl each other. Rabbi Huda savri, Rabbi Huda holds mikan lemin b'mino she'im bottle. That it's because min b'mino is not bottle. The dam of the par, the dam asar are both dam. It's the same min. Min b'mino is not bottle. So said Rabbi Yochanan, v'shnei mika echad darshu. You want to know where the Chachamim and Rabbi Yehuda fought it out in terms of this shayla min b'mino bottle, min b'mino lay bottle. It's in the pasuk v'lokach midam apar midam asar, trying to explain why it would be that the dam asar was not bottle to the dam apar. Rabbi Yehuda held it's because min b'mino lay bottle. The Chachamim said, I don't think that's the reason. I think the reason is because they're oilin and oilim are not mevatel zeze. Oh, but min b'mino really is bottle. So really, it boils down to how do you learn the shayla? Now the Gemara is going to be mafalful a little bit in the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda and the Chacham respectively, and then the Gemara is going to tell us why we're having this conversation right now. So far, it just started with a Tanan Hassan. Says the Gemara, Rabbanan, Sabri, Mikandl, Eilu, Shem, Vatn, Zeh, Zeh. The Rabbanan hold that the reason of Elokach, Bidama, Par, Bidama, Sar, the Damasar is not potulis because they're both oil and Vidilma, Mishum, the Miminim, right? Maybe it's because of Mimimimimida. In other words, like the Gemara says sometimes, Mechti, Kroi, Loikamar, Daiki, Veloikamar, Daiki, right? Mava, it's not so meduyik that it's Adam, and it's not so meduyik that it's Shein. So why does Rav hold one way, and why does Shmuel hold the other way? Mechatesi. Meaning, how do you know it's because Oilin are Eim Mevatlin Zezeh? Maybe it's because Min B'minoihu. So says the Chachamim, I Ashmina Min B'minoi, V'loi Ashmina Oilin, Kiduga Amrit. Had the Torah given me the example of where the dam is not bottle in a situation where it was min b'minoi, but not also something that went on the mizbeach, so I would agree with you. I would think that probably the reason there's no bittul over here is because it's min b'minoi. But now that the Torah told me in a case of oilin, you know what it sounds like? Mishum the oilin. It certainly sounds like that the reason it's not bottle is because it's oilin. Meaning, you're telling me that maybe the reason the dam asar is not bottle is because it's min b'minoi, nothing to do with oilin. Why you tell me in a case of oilin? Why you tell me in kachim? Tell to me in bereishis shmoi. Why are you telling it to me in Teres Kayanim? It's a funny place to tell it. Oh, it's very mashba to me. This is a kachim to get in. Must be else oilin. Says the Gemara, v'dilma ad ikam min b'minoi v'oilin. I hear. You want to tell me that it's not mashba, this is a regular halacha min b'minoi le'batul, because then you should have told it to me about wine, and you should have said it in the parish of Nasir. I don't know. So you're telling me blood in the parish of kachim. Oh, it sounds like this is a oilin digga halacha. I hear. Klar, must be oilindig, but it also says it by mimaminoi. So maybe the only time there's no bittul is if it's sai oilin and sai is mimaminoi. The Gemara says kasha, which in English means, I hear. For Rabbi Yehuda, the Gemara says, sabar, mikan, le mimaminoi. Shein about Rabbi Yehuda understood the pasuk that it's coming to teach you mimaminoi. It's not bottle. Afraid the Gemara, how do you know? Vidilma mishum da oilinu. Maybe the chachamim are saying good. Maybe the reason there's no bittul here is because it's oilin. The Gemara says, yesh, mean an oilin. Min b'she'enoi mina kitaka amre. It says Rabbi Yehuda, if the case would have been a case where you have two things that are oilin, but they're min b'she'enoi mina, it's dam and a mincha, I have no idea, two things that are not the same min, I would agree with you, for sure it's also oilin, but hashadash mina min b'minoi. But now that Torah went out of its way to tell me the case of, in your mind, oilin and not mevatel zeze, in a case of min b'minoi, certainly sounds like that it's mishum to min b'minoi, it's related to min b'minoi. So it can't be that has nothing to do with min b'minoi. Because if this has nothing to do with min b'minoi, then it shouldn't have been talking about a case of min b'minoi. But the Gemara says the same kasha that asked earlier, v'duma ad ikim min b'minoi v'oilin. Maybe you have to have both. Maybe it has to be min b'minoi, and it has to be oilin. Zok the Gemara again, kasha I hear. So again, at the end of the day, v'shnei mikra echad darshu. Sai Rabbi Yehuda, Sai the Chachamim came from the same pasuk. V'lach b'dam aparim b'dam asar. Hadav yudu shadam shapam merumim b'dam shalsar. And afilu hachi, there's no bittul. Shailas why? The Chachamim say because it's oilin. Rabbi Yehuda said because it's min b'minoi. Chachamim, it's als oilin. Maybe it's because of min b'minoi. Why tell to me in a case of oilin? Rabbi Yehuda, it's als min b'minoi. Maybe it's als oilin. Why tell to me in a case of min b'minoi? Here, Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim. Chachamim first. If it's because of oilin, so. And a chanami, why are you talking telling me in the case of min b'minoi? And maybe you have to have oilin and min b'minoi. I hear. Rabbi Yehuda, it's min b'minoi because you told me in the case of min b'minoi, but you also told me in the case of oilin. So maybe that's min b'minoi and oilin. I hear. But the bottom line is, these are the two shittas. Okay, so what does that have to do with our sugyos? And now we have to learn another Mishnah. But this Mishnah we learned already. Tanan, we learned in our Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Yehuda said, b'minchas koyim Mashiach, u'b'minchas nesachim psulo. Rabbi Yehuda argued with the Chacham. The Chacham said, any time you have a mincha that's nesarev, be it koymetz with a koymetz with a mincha with a mincha, it's always going to be kosher. Rabbi Yehuda said, no. That if a koymetz was nesarev with a mincha, then already it's going to be possible. Shezubli lasa ava, vezubli lasa raka. Because the ratio of oil to soilus is much less in the kaimitz. It's one lug per one isarin. Than it is regarding the minachis that were kulaikala, where it was 3-1. Okay, so what's the issue? Vehim bailoi zumizu. At the end of the day, they're going to be bailea, one from the other. And what's going to be the problem? The problem is, you're going to end up with too much shemen in one, or too little shemen in the other. Freik, the Gemara, Akash, ding, that Shittas Rabbi Yehuda is. That min b'minoi loy batol. And you know it's Shittas Rabbi Yehuda. I know it from the counterpart, Mishnah Masech Tzvachim, where Dam was Nesarev with Dam. Rabbi Yehuda holds min b'minoi loy batol, because he learned it from Volokach midam apar, midam asar. So if that's the case, v'chiboy lezumi zumahava, min b'minoi. At the end of the day, this is all min b'minoi, right? Everything here is the same min. And being that everything is the same min, right? It's soilus and shemen, it's soilus and shemen. So if it's min b'minoi, it's no bittul. What's the kasha? The kasha is like this. The kasha is that the koimitz bleibt da koimitz mit ir shemen, when the minchas nesachin bleibt da minchas nesachin mit ir shemen. They bleibt the same thing. To the extent that there's no bittul, so even if it becomes a mixture where your shemen becomes part of me and my shemen becomes part of you, but at the same time, there's a mechitza that separates the nutrition facts of each one of these ingredients. Because at the end of the day, I'm my original kaimitz, which is a blila ava, and you're your original mincha, which is a blila raka, and there's no mixture. Even though physically they're being mixed, every min b'minoi bottle or loy bottle, they're physically mixed. But there's a din. There's a din that min b'minoi, the laws of bittul don't apply. You're not mashpi on me, and I'm not mashpi on you. Well, here too, these two menachas should not be mashpi on each other, and everything should be as is. Zokta Gemara, Amar Rava. Rava said, Kasavi Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda's of the opinion, Kol Shul Min B'Minoi. Anytime you have a Min B'Minoi, V'Davar Acher, but there's something else as well. Meaning, if you have a taruvis, not of just two things that are Min B'Minoi, but there are three things. Two things are Minoi, and then there's a third thing that's an enoi minoi. This is the way you go about something like this. The way you work it is salekes minoi kemisha enoi. You get rid of the minoi. You make believe it's not there. The she'enoi minoi rabba olav mevatloi. And the she'enoi minoi is going to have an ability to go ahead and be mevatlo the other men. Okay. Over here, you have shemen and shemen. But you also have soilus and soilus. So you say meres, that if you're going to take, for example, the koimitz. So the koimitz has its soilus and its shemen. And now the shemen is being nesarif with the shemen of the minchas nesachin. And you're going to tell me, koin Rabbi Yehuda, min b'minoi batal, so those two shemens are still going to be separate. That's klape the shemen. The shemen of the minchas nesachin has no ability to have any impact on the shemen of the koimitz. But the soilus of the minchas nesachin does, and vice versa, the soilus of the koimitz could go ahead and now play games together with the shemen of the minchas nesachin, where the bittul is going to play itself out is because of the other min. That's what the concern is. And the shemen can't have any ashpa on the shemen, but the shemen can have ashpa on the soilus, and the soilus can have ashpa on the shemen. And as a result, we're concerned over here that through the laws of bittul, you're going to end up with a taruvis between these minim, and it's for that reason you're going to have an issue. You want to see Rashi inside. Rashi says, mim b'minoi, top of the yomid, shemen v'shemen. What's the v'davar achar? What's the thing that we're being mesalik? That's the soilus. Salik es minoi, shemen de kamat. Mishum nedava kemisha enoi, the nimtzoi shelsoi shall koimitz rabal shemen and nivla boyam avatla. So what's going to happen is it's the soilus of the koimitz that's going to go ahead and that's going to be mevatla. The bottom line is the bittul is going to play itself out because of the fact you have a koimitz. It's based on this chiddush of kolshul min b'mina b'davar achas aleikas mina kemisha enoi v'shena b'mina rabal mevatla. If you take a look at the Maseres Hashas, this is Gemara Chulin Daf Kuf Chulin Kuf Ches. Okay, when It's really a very, very taruvis digger sugya coming up in the not too distant future. But the bottom line is, the reason Rabbi Yehuda would be concerned about a bittel, even though Rabbi Yehuda holds mim b'minu le'batel, is because over here it's not mim b'minu. Over here you have Shemin and Silas versus Shemin and Silas, and because of the two sides of it, it's for that reason you have an issue. Exhale. So as it relates to raid, just one ha'ara, going back to Parshas Yisrael. So again, one of the advantages of being up to date with the Parsha is that it's this week's Parsha, and it's really something that we mentioned in the post game last night at the end of the first Chumash on Parshas Yisrael, but I think it's kedai to chazer it over now, and we'll chazer it with a little bit of an extra punchline. And that is the first Rashi in Parshas Yisrael. Vayishma Yisrael, Koyein Midyon, Choysein Moshe, is kol asha asa elikim l'moshe uli Yisrael am. Ki hoitzi Hashem es Yisrael mimitzrayim. Poshet, the Pasuk seems to be saying that Yisrael heard about the fact that the Yidden were taken out of Mitzrayim and all the additional events that took place, and it motivated him to take Tzipora, Gershom, and Eliezer and come join the party, come join the Bnei Yisrael. But Rashi says, right in the beginning of the parasha, Vayishma Yisrael mashmua shama uva. What exactly was it that Yisrael heard? Kriyas Yamsuf u'melchemes Amalek. What he heard was Kriyas Yamsuf and Melchemes Amalek. And everybody from the beginning of time, from the first time a person got up and said a Dvar Torah in Parashas Yisrael, Jews have been wondering aloud, what's so special, what was so unique about Kriyas Yamsuf and Melchemes Amalek that Rashi HaKadosh says, Vayishma Yisroi, you want to know Mashmu Hashama Uva? What he heard was Kriyas Yamsuf and Melchemes Amalek. So the Chasam Sofer, in his very first piece in Teres Moshe, says a Dover Nifla. Everybody knows, it's a well-known Chazal, that Paroi, in the beginning of Parsha Shmois, when he said Hava Neschak Malai, had three primary advisors: Bilam, Eiv, and Yisrael. And he called them in, and he said that the Jews are posing a problem. They're multiplying at a very fast pace. At some point, they're going to become such a powerful force that in the event that there's a war and they decide to join the other side, we may be in big trouble. We have to come up with some sort of solution, quote unquote. We have to figure out what exactly we're going to do. So the cabinet gets together and they all voice an opinion. Bilam says, I think you should kill him. I mean, or at least deal with them. Figure out something very, very bad to do with them. Eiv said, I plead the fifth. Fifth Amendment right? I'm not sure. Yisrael was barach. Yisrael said, I need the bathroom, and he wasn't heard from again. Chazal say that Bilam Sheyaatz, he ended up being killed later in the Torah. Eiv Sheshasak was Nidabi Yisurim, like the Brisker Rav said, Valoipsatut Ve Shreitman. And Yisrael that was Barach, he got rewarded, he was Zoicha, that Bnei Bonav Ayoshvim Belishkas Hagazis. Bazokte Hilgich Sam Sofer. Even though Yisrael technically walks away from that story looking very good, but Yisrael had a very guilty conscience about how the events shook out. Because at the end of the day, once the Jews were enslaved and things started becoming very, very bad for them, he started feeling, it started tugging him that maybe I should have done more. Maybe I shouldn't have ran away. Maybe I should have voiced an opinion. Maybe I should have put up a fight. And maybe had I done that, I would have been successful. I would have been matzliach. And this was something that bothered Yisrael throughout the time. And the Chasam Sofer says it's mistaber and it's yutachin, that if it bothered Yisrael, Yisrael probably did tshuva. He probably fasted, and he probably did Gilgul Sheleg, and who knows what he might have done in order to try to be mesaken the fact that in his mind, he didn't do enough. But then time passed, and the Jews were taken out of Mitzrayim, and they came to the Yam Suf. And what about the Yam Suf? The Mitzrayim all drowned in the Yam. When Yisrael saw the Mitzrayim drown in the Yam, what Yisrael realized was that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu punishes, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu thinks and operates, he operates midah keneged midah. Ki bedavar ashezadu aleihem. Why did the Egyptians die in sea? The reason they died at sea is probably because they made the gzera that every little baby boy that's born should be thrown into the sea. So midah keneged midah, like Rashi speaks out, that's why they were punished at sea. So he says, I've been doing tshuva all along because I feel that I sin greatly towards the creator of the world. I think my tshuva might have not been a perfect tshuva because I see that the way the Eibishter likes things is midah keneged midah. And maybe my tshuva also has to be midah keneged midah. And you know what? tshuva mida keneged mida would be? It's what we know as tshuva samishka. So he says, what I need to do is I need to be masak in my chet. So Yisrael said, how am I going to be masak in my chet? What did I do wrong? I had an opportunity to give advice that would have saved the Jews, and to the contrary, by me running away, I hurt them. What I'm going to do is I need to wait and I have to find an opportunity where I'm going to be able to give an etzah that's going to help the Jewish people. And he was waiting, and he was waiting for that opportunity. And then Yisrael heard something else. He heard Melchemes Amalek. And what happened by Melchemes Amalek? Amalek comes out of nowhere. They literally leave their hometown. They leave their village. They leave their wife and children behind. They say, we're going to go fight against the Jews. Why? I don't even know. But there's something pulling us and tugging us, and this is something that we want to do. And when Yisrael saw what Amalek did, Yisrael learned the Musar. A Musar that Chassam Sofer says, the Chavis HaVavis writes and talks about a Yid's supposed to learn. And that is, sometimes you have to learn from the Koyach HaTumah, how you're supposed to go about things of Kedusha. He saw from Amalek that Amalek didn't wait for the fight to come to them. Amalek brought the fight on. Amalek felt in their Tumah that they want to fight the Jews. They didn't say, when the Jews come to our shtetl, we're going to go out like Sichon and Oik did. They said, no, we're going to bring it on. Let's go on the offense and let's go fight them. And Yisrael said that if that's how it works in Tumah, Azoy Daf is gain in Kedusha also. And we have to go bring it. So when Yisrael saw that Amalek went out, he says, I have to do the same thing. I'm sitting around, I'm waiting for an opportunity to be Misakin my chet to do Tshuvas HaMishko. Abba fin Milchemes Amalek, I see that I have to pick myself up. It's Vayikach Yisrael Choysen Moshe Sipoyer Eishas Moshe Ashchah Shulchel. And he went out. That's what Chassam Sofer said. Chassam Sofer said that Mashmu Hashem Uba Kriyas Yamsuf of Mechemes Amalek. Kriyas Yamsuf taught Yisroel that the tshuva that he was doing wasn't enough of a tshuva. You have to do tshuva samishko. And Mechemes Amalek taught him that you don't wait for the fight to come to you. You bring it on. That's the way you're supposed to do it. The word is a little drushy. Kedarko shal Chassam Sofer. But like every drush in the Chassam Sofer, the drush is a mashal. The nimshal is half of a fella. It's half of how many times have we learned Parshas Yisrael? And maybe not connected the fact that Yisrael, who's giving etzes to Moshe Rabbeinu in the beginning of Parshas Yisrael, is the same Yoyetz of Hava Neschak Maloi, who was one of Paro's advisors. Yisrael was this very prominent, very celebrated advisor. If somebody needed to be shaylates about something, he would try to make an appointment with Yisrael, and his next availability was in 2029. He was not an easy guy to get in with. But that's what Yisrael had a koyach, and Yisrael used that koyach in his own mind in a bad way. Wasn't so bad. Could have been worse. Could have been Bilam. And it could have been Eoif. But at the same time, he didn't put up a fight. And Yisrael felt that I have to do tshuva. And tshuva has to be done, tshuva samishko. And how do you do tshuva samishko? Yisrael waited for the opportunity. And then he brought the opportunity on. And the tshuva samishko was, he used that same koyach that he had of giving advice. He gave the advice to the Bnei Yisrael. And as they say, the rest is history. You know, Yisrael was zoicha that he has a parsha named after him. Parshas Yisrael, it's all out of order. But Yisrael has a parsha that's named after him. Why? Because he gave us a parsha in the Torah. Arvach Arvitzarech. It's still a little schwer. What's so chashev? Yes, I hear he told Moshe, set it up this way, set it up that way. I mean, he gave him good advice. I think the story, the oimik of why Yisrael zeichet to a parasha, it's not so much the fact that he gave good advice. It's the story of Yisrael. It's what motivated him to give advice. It's that hergish niflo of the Heil Gacham Sofer that Yisrael came to do tshuva, and we were makabalist tshuva. We were makabalist tshuva on such a high level that he was zeichet that he has a whole parasha. Bilam messed up when he was part of the Hava Neschak Maloi. Messed up very, very badly. Yisrael, to a certain extent, also messed up. But at the end of the day, Yisrael was zoicha to having a parasha named after him. Bilam, at the end of the Torah, is going to double down. Bilam goes down as one of the worst gefährliche people of all time. People make mistakes sometimes, but there's a kayach that a person has to go ahead and be masakin the mistakes that he makes. Bilam doubled down. And because he doubled down, his name goes down in infamy, as opposed to Yisrael. Yisrael was masakin his mistake. Yisrael did tshuva. The atzas Yisrael is so significant. It's so part of the conscience of every yid. Every little child who's 5 years old, boy or girl, as learned in Cheder, the story of Yisrael and his good advice. There's a tremendous oimik. The oimik is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives a person a talent sometimes, and sometimes we use it in a destructive way. You can be masakin by using it in a good way. There's so much beauty in the story of Yisrael. The tshuva of Yisrael, who would have thunk it? This is the first Chassam Sofer in the beginning of Teres Moshe, and we're going to stop here.